The songs that our brother Vern has led us in this morning, it has prepared my mind for Bible study, and I hope it will yours. We've been singing this morning about being a pilgrim. And of course, pilgrims get a lot of play this time of year, don't they? And in this country, we typically think of pilgrims being people who have found a new land and they eat turkey. But that's not what a pilgrim is. A pilgrim is not Greek for turkey eater. In fact, the word pilgrim is used often in the New Testament to identify what the people of God are to see themselves as here on earth. This idea of being a pilgrim is sometimes translated by the word stranger or exile or nomad or temporary residence or foreigner. And it is a word that declares our recognition that this world is not our home. As Hebrews 11, as we read verse 13, says that faithful people throughout the ages have agreed that they were strangers and foreigners on this earth. As the Apostle Paul asserts, our citizenship is in heaven. And it is most helpful to view ourselves as being temporary residents, as foreigners in this world. And so this morning, I'd like to just impress upon you and I the importance of viewing ourselves as foreigners on this earth. And it's helpful for a number of reasons. Scripture tells us to view ourselves as foreigners here because it gives us clarity in times of abundance. When times are easy and pleasurable and we have more than enough possessions, we are tempted to think that this temporary world is all that there is. And that these things that are subject to certain decay are worth our life and our energies. But when we see ourselves as simply foreigners in this world, we are not deceived by even the times of abundance. We realize this time of pleasure, of abundance, of peace, that it is only a temporary state and that we are not to put our hearts and our affections in this place because it's deceptive and it keeps us from seeing those things which are eternal, those things which are spiritual. But in addition, seeing ourselves as foreigners in this world gives us comfort in times of affliction. When we are in pain and we have problems in this life and we are tempted to be fearful and worry and feel hopeless. When we see ourselves as foreigners in this earth, we are less pained by the problems and disappointments of this life because we realize this world is not our home. And so this morning, I really want us to focus on what the Bible teaches about being a foreigner in this world, to view ourselves as pilgrims. And there's probably no better person to teach us how to be a foreigner in this world than the Apostle Peter. Peter himself was a man who was on a journey. He started his life in a little small fishing village around a little small lake in northern Palestine. And I'm sure that he imagined that he was going to live and die working that lake and catching those fish. But he had no idea what was going to happen when a man by the name of Jesus came and said, "Follow me." And from that time onward, Peter's life totally changed. And he went to places spiritually and geographically that he had never imagined. And later on, in the later days of his life, when the Holy Spirit was looking for someone to write a letter to a bunch of Christians who were going through difficult times and had been thrust out of their land, he chose the Apostle Peter to write that letter, as we call them 1st and 2nd Peter. And if you notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, it begins this way, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion." The word apostle means one sent out. And so really, Peter begins his letter by saying, I am the one who's been sent out by Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to people who have been sent out and have been pilgrims and dispersed across this world. I am a foreigner writing to a bunch of foreigners. And as Christians, we view ourselves that way. We are the people who have been called out of the world and its way of living and into Christ and His way of living. And as the called out ones, we are to view ourselves as foreigners and strangers in this world. And help us do that this morning. What I'd like to do is just trace the pilgrimage of Peter and see if we can learn from Peter how to be a pilgrim, how to be a foreigner in this world. Because he was the one that the Holy Spirit chose to teach a bunch of Christians in the first century how to live as pilgrims dispersed across the earth. And the first thing that I'd say about Peter is that he was a man on the way. He was a man that showed that pilgrimage is about making a journey. It's about a progress, and he certainly illustrates that. Peter was probably one of the most well-known Christians in the first century. His name, in fact, is at the head of every list of the apostles, and yet he didn't start that way. Look with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And let's see what happened when he first met Jesus. When he was a young man, Peter was quick-tempered. He was impulsive. That's clearly indicated. His biggest plan for the future was probably just to build up his fishing business there with his brother around the Sea of Galilee. But we read in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, an event that changed his life. It says, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. When you read about the people that Jesus called to change the world in the New Testament, you quickly discover that he didn't go to Jerusalem University and get the most educated, most wealthy people in the community, those who had the most influence to change the world. He went out and he got people like fishermen who were fishing in some no-name village up in the despised area of Palestine. And they were the ones he called to follow him. And what we need to recognize by that is that we see Peter and we're impressed with his faith. We're impressed with the way that he served the Lord in his life. We also need to recognize that he was just a humble fisherman. That what he accomplished wasn't because of his skill and his wit and his wisdom. It was because of the one that he followed. And discipleship is for everyone. It's for the Peters who are out by the lakes, and it's for the people who work where you work and the people who live in the house where you live. God calls all people to follow Him. And being a pilgrim recognizes that God calls all of us to follow Him and to track Him on a journey. So Jesus didn't pick the kind of men that you would typically think you would choose as men who would change the world. He chose somebody who was impetuous and impulsive and quick-tempered. But Peter had a quality that made him a good foreigner, a good pilgrim. And that was, he was a learner. He loved to learn about Jesus. He wanted to learn, what does it mean to follow Him? Look with me in your Bibles over now at John chapter 6. Because in John chapter 6, we see an illustration of how a lot of people are glad to follow Jesus, start on this journey with Jesus, as long as Jesus tells them what they want to hear. As soon as Jesus tells them something they don't want to hear, then they go their own way. And that's what happened in John chapter 6. Jesus began to teach some things that were difficult, and the people started to leave. And notice what it says in verse 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here was Peter, rather common fisherman in a no-name town in northern Palestine, that Jesus said, "I want you to follow me." And what made him such a good follower, what made him such a good pilgrim was that he recognized Jesus had something he needed to learn. And so when he was tempted, as others were, to leave Jesus, when the sayings got hard, he said to Jesus, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So if we're going to be pilgrims, we've got to have this desire to learn about Jesus, to have a teachable spirit. And notice how Peter, in order to have that, had to be willing to leave everything behind. By the way, that's essential for following, isn't it? To follow means that if I am here and I'm going to go there, I have got to, of necessity, leave this behind to go over there. And for Peter, leaving behind the kind of character that he had before, his impetuous spirit, his self-will, his doing things in his own strength, he was going to have to learn to leave those things behind, even his old pursuits. He was going to have to leave behind in order to follow Jesus. But he did it because he believed that Jesus had something he needed to learn. And that's a very important lesson for all pilgrims to learn. That following Jesus is a pilgrimage. Following Jesus is a journey. And that journey involves turning away from character and behavior that do not put Christ first, and having this desire to learn about Him, to learn about Christ. In fact, it's interesting to me in the Gospels how often the Gospel writers depict the life of Jesus as a story. You ever notice that? It says, "He and His disciples were going here, and He said to them. And He and His disciples were going there, and He did a miracle for them." It seems like Jesus and His disciples are always going somewhere together. In fact, Mark chapter 10 and verse 32 says, "They were on their way to Judea with Jesus leading them." That's what it means to be a pilgrim. It means that we are following Jesus. In fact, what were the early Christians known as in the book of Acts? They weren't called Christians first. They were called people of the way. They were identified as people who were walking, following in a particular way. And in order to view ourselves as foreigners in this world, to view ourselves as pilgrims, we've got to believe that what we're doing is we're turning our back on the world and its way of living. We're turning our back on attitudes and character that is not in conformance to Christ. We're turning our back on our own selfishness and even our own pursuits to follow Jesus in His way. That's what it means to be a foreigner in this world. It is to declare that we are following after Jesus. It is a pilgrimage. But then secondly, what we learned about Peter was that he was also a man who was often in the way of Jesus. Yes, he was following Jesus, but there were a lot of times that he got in the way of Jesus and he had to unlearn some things he thought were important. Look with me, for example, at Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 27, At this point, Peter believes that being a foreigner on this world means that things are going to be pleasant and easy and happy, and that's why he's following Jesus. But he's going to quickly learn differently. So look at Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciples went out of the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And so they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "Well, you are the Christ." And then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And when he turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Here is Peter, thinking that following Jesus is going to be the path to ease, to triumph, to success. And what Jesus does is he teaches him a lesson about suffering. Now, being a foreigner on this world means that following Jesus is going to be choosing a path of suffering. That means that we don't have the same values the world has. We don't do the same thing that the world does. And as Jesus said in John chapter 17, "As the world hated me, they are going to also hate you." So to be a foreigner in this world means being used to suffering. And this is something that we all recognize when you go visiting somewhere or you go travel somewhere. When you go to an area of the world in which you are clearly a stranger, what do people do? They look at you strange. "What are you doing here? Why are you dressed like that? Why do you talk in that funny way? Go back to Texas where you belong," right? And it's that kind of feeling you get when you realize, hey, this is not my home. And we're to be able to be like that in this world. If we're foreigners, people think, in this world, we talk differently than the world does. We dress differently than the world does. We have different values than the world does. And so the world will look at us askew. And we need to get comfortable with that. If we don't understand that, we'll get in the way of Jesus and not be his disciple. But look at Acts chapter 10. Another thing that we see that Peter had to unlearn. Acts chapter 10. Here in this text, we see him preaching the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile, for the first time. And what Peter at this point believed is that God was only interested in saving people like him. And now he learns much different. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. "The next day, as they went on their journey, it drew near the city, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, and when he became very hungry, he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Arise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord.'" Boy, that's something that Peter gets too eased at saying. "Not so, Lord." This is the second time he's going to have said it. "For I have never eaten anything pure or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call impure." This was done three times. And the sheet was taken up into heaven again. This is the way that God taught Peter that God loves and wants to save everyone in the world. And he's not just to be concerned about himself and those who look like him. In other words, this way of a pilgrimage, this is interesting, the way of the pilgrimage is not just about ourselves and remaining separate. It's about thinking about the salvation of others around us. So we're to be recruiting people to go to the home that we are going to. So what do we do as pilgrims? Well, as pilgrims, we recognize we're going to be different and as a result suffer in this world. And as pilgrims, we don't want to travel alone. We want to take as many with us to the land that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we're to be concerned about the salvation of others. And then number three, look at John chapter 18. In John chapter 18, Jesus, this is the night before he was betrayed, or the night he was betrayed by the kiss of Judas. In fact, Judas has already kissed him and betrayed him to his enemies. And the soldiers have come, and notice in verse 10, it says that Simon Peter, he's going to make a mistake again, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And so Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Evidently, Peter was not as good a swordsman as he was a fisherman, because he just got an ear. But what he did think was that the way that you serve the kingdom is by strength, by power, by accomplishing what you set yourself to accomplish. And what Jesus taught him is that the kingdom is not advanced by sword, the thoughts and the inventions of man. The kingdom is advanced by the cup. And the cup is submitting oneself to the will of God. And that's what Jesus did, even to the cross, even to the suffering, even to the death. And what Peter had to unlearn was that the way you serve God is not by coming up with your own plan and your own inventions and doing things your way. It's not based upon the strength and the traditions of men, but that the way you serve God is you submit to Him. And so what you find is that life with Jesus is a pilgrimage. It is a journey that we are all to be growing in, and that this journey is a journey of submission. We are submitting our ambitions, surrendering our agendas to the will of God and submitting. That's what it means to be a pilgrim. To be a foreigner in this world is to admit that we are on a pilgrimage of submission. And that leads to the last thing I want to say about Peter, and that is that he was also a man who showed the way. And for this, I'd like for you to turn with me to John chapter 21. Jesus has now been crucified. Peter has denied his Lord three times. But now he sees the resurrected Lord. And the Lord comes back to restore Peter and also to employ him back into the service. So we're at John 21, verse 25. "And so, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.'" By the way, he's gotten it right now. Did you notice? "Yes, Lord," rather than the "no, Lord." Okay. "He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. And isn't it interesting? The first words that Jesus said to Peter was, follow me. The last words he said to him was, follow me. Following Jesus, Peter is going to have to learn, meant, as it says here, loving God by loving his people. In other words, this pilgrimage is not something that we do alone. It is a pilgrimage of submission to the will of God, and that submission to the will of God involves caring for the people of God, and making sure they all get home as well. And Peter had to learn that. But Peter also had to learn that the way to glory was going to involve suffering. Did you notice how verse 19 ended? It said, Jesus said this to indicate to Peter the way that he would die and glorify God. Peter has come to the point now where he realizes that the way you give God glory is not by power and conquest and might, but the way that you give God glory is that you yield your life, you die for him. Now, it is that lesson about the way God is glorified is by living for his purposes and not our purposes, for his glory and not our glory. That's the lesson that Peter taught the people to whom he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. And look, notice how he does it. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Here were Christians. They were going through difficult times. He reminds them that they're just foreigners on this world. But notice how he teaches them to live. 1 Peter 4, I'm in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. We as Christians get knocked off of our faith when we get to thinking that the trials and the difficulties of life are somehow unjust and unexpected. No. They are there because we are here. We are just pilgrims. And so he says, verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Notice the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 10. He says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Peter knew, he lived it, how difficult discipleship can be. But he also learned that that difficult faithfulness is the only true way to know God and to give him glory. And so what he learned was he learned that with Jesus, life is a pilgrimage of submission to a cross. That being a pilgrim in this world, being a stranger, a foreigner in this land, means that we're on a journey. We're on a journey following Jesus. And that this journey is about submitting ourselves to Jesus. And every time we submit ourselves to Jesus and we die to the world and we die to self to live for him, then it secures that much more glory. And that's why we follow this pilgrimage, is because it is the only way to find as Peter says here, the glory, the eternal glory that is in Christ Jesus. So Peter followed, and Peter learned, and Peter died. And so Peter lived a life of God. And so this week, maybe good things will happen to us this week, and we'll get some great possession or some good things going to happen to us. We need to realize that may be an enjoyable thing. It, in fact, may even be a gift from God. But we need to recognize that it is, if it is of this world, it is temporary, and we don't need to put our hope in it. In fact, the reason I chose to preach on being a pilgrim this week is because last week we introduced that joy thief. Remember that joy thief of finding our pleasures in possessions rather than the Lord? That's a joy thief. And one thing that will help us keep our joy in the Lord is to recognize that those possessions are simply temporary. They're part of this world. We're not going to take them with us. We're just pilgrims here. We're foreigners. We leave this stuff behind. So when good things happen to you this next week, think about the better things, the glory that God has prepared for you in heaven. Secondly, when things happen to you this week that are challenging, that are difficult, that make you think like, you know, maybe I should just give up, remember that you're not going to live here forever, that you're just passing through. This world is not your home, that we are just foreigners in this world. And keep your hope and live for heaven. If you're here this morning and you need to do something to make sure that you're living for the Lord, we'd love to encourage you to do that this morning. If you're not a child of God, what the Bible would teach is the way you begin this pilgrimage with Christ is that you confess your faith in Him and you repent of living for self and the world, and then you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that through His blood He can forgive your sins. And that if you're here and you're a Christian and you've not been walking this pilgrimage, you've been actually walking your own way and you haven't been following Jesus, this is a wonderful day to say, I'm going to stop living for this world and I'm going to start living like a foreigner in this land. And if you're a Christian and you have decided to do that, you've said, I'm going to live as a foreigner in this land, I'm going to suffer with Jesus, I'm going to try to save as many as I can, I'm going to serve in the way that Jesus teaches me to, then today, why don't you devote yourself more earnestly to teaching some of the lost, to encouraging and tending and feeding and helping the people of God, because that's what pilgrims do. If you need to respond to the gospel, we all have something we can do this morning. And if you need to respond publicly by becoming a Christian or expressing your need for the prayers of this church, why don't you come as we stand and sing?